Hey there, and welcome back to the FSC podcast. My name is Tanner. I'm on staff here at First Family Church, and I'm joined here, as always, by Travis.
Hello. Beth
Travis, and RJ's with us.
What's up?
Nice callback. So in this episode of the podcast, we're having something a little different than we've done before, or we haven't done it in a long time, I should say. We have the winner of one of our raffles from our trivia night that we did, a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Greg Cowan is with us this morning.
Congratulations, Greg.
Thank Congrats, you, Greg, and welcome.
Way to win.
Thank you.
This is your prize.
Yeah, thanks.
Don't you wish you actually won something real and
an
not
hour
this?
With us.
I did. I got a Chick-fil-A gift card.
Oh, there you go.
I walked up and took the card and walked back to my seat. That's all that was in my mind. And then my wife was like, "You also are on the podcast." I was like, "I didn't even hear them say that."
So, he heard Chick-fil-A and just zoned out the rest of it.
Like, I got the Chick-fil-A card, yeah.
There you go.
For those of you that don't know Greg has been around for a long time. Your wife is Brianna. It's Todd's daughter. They have a family with three kids. And I was just going to start with kind of, for somebody that might not know you, maybe introduce yourself and your family and maybe kind of maybe a little bit of your personal story and then kind of how you got to First Family, how you got sent out. Maybe share some of that with us.
You got it. I am Greg. And like you said, my wife is Brianna. We have three kids. And I'm born and raised here in Ankeny. And I'm a construction guy, is usually what I've gotten in the habit of telling people, especially people overseas, just I'm a construction guy. I like construction. And I went to school and studied construction engineering at Iowa State. And I liked that a lot, and got a job working for a large general contractor in Texas. Right after college, we moved down there. We came back after having our first child to just start putting down roots in Ankeny and being close to family and getting plugged into First Family Church. And then from there, we've been here for like maybe 5 or 6 years. And then we really felt God put a call in our heart to go and start working in cross-cultural missions. And specifically me using my construction background just to help further and strengthen, the missionary work in West Africa. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Since 2020. We were sent out and we just finished a year in France learning French to go and work in West Africa. And then next month, we are going to mobilize to Cameroon and we're going to go do a 2-year term there.
Wow. So you guys are like right on the brink of heading over finally.
Yeah, just last week we bought our tickets and we're down to 4 more weeks to get everything in order, packed up and go. Doesn't feel as crazy this time, having done it once before.
Right? Yeah, I bet.
Are you guys excited, nervous, both? What are you guys feeling right now?
I'm very excited. My wife's excited. Our kids are actually really excited, which that is always encouraging because it's fair to not be excited for stuff that we ought to go do. So, I think, again, this time around, it's just easier because we've kind of already done the thing where you count all the cost and sell most of the possessions and get ready to go and really pare down to the bare essentials and leave. So now we're back, having been back, but we're just in mom and dad's basement and, we still don't have those things that we already parted ways with a year and a half ago. So more excitement this time, which I'm, feels good.
What level of, I guess, I don't, what's Cameroon? Are they a third world country? Is it what kind of environment are you guys walking into there?
Yeah, it is. Cameroon is, it's kind of split between being a West African country and a Central African country. So it's claimed by both regions of Africa, but it's super culturally dense with all these different people groups. There's almost 300 languages spoken inside that country, and it's only a total population of 30 million or something like that. And so it is, it's third world, but developing. It's done a good job of establishing Western trade relations. So in comparison to its other West African countries, it's a little more developed and a little more established and stable. terms of its government and commerce and stuff. Mm-hmm. But most people are farmers and are just trying to mainly find peace and prosperity and just survive. So, yeah.
And you will be overseeing or helping with a certain, I'm assuming a building of certain buildings, right?
Yes. Yep. So, and again, my wheelhouse, I love building really big things. That's what I did in the workplace and the secular world before going into missions. And so I get to help realize some of the bigger projects for ministries who wouldn't necessarily have the personnel or the expertise to make it happen on their own. So for this opportunity in Cameroon, there's a team there that wants to build a big ministry center. They planted a church 5 years ago, and they have a vision to build a seminary facility that also has a worship center, like a church congregation space, and then also some offices and things like that. So that'll be the big project, is building this seminary.
You have any a team there that's already there working that you're kind of assimilating into, or are you going to be the main driver, or?
Yeah. So we're joining a team that, is, I would say they're sent out through the Bethlehem, church network, which is, John Piper is the notable, like, leader of that, church. So we are joining that team. They're known as the Baptist Mission. If you're there in Yaoundé, everybody knows them as the Baptist Mission. So we're excited to join that team. And I think, honestly, one of the things we look forward to just in as our family is we're really just going to grow, I think, spiritually in that environment and just have the privilege of rubbing shoulders with friends on our team who are very spiritually mature and are very much coming from the same religious traditions as us and same beliefs and stuff, which you don't always get that in the ministry world.
Well, guys, feel free to chime in with any questions. I don't want to dominate the questions, but
I'll ask an ignorant question.
Okay.
There's gotta be a learning curve of, you know, construction in America.
Yeah.
What's that? How do you learn about construction in another nation, another continent?
Oh, I'm about to find out.
Okay. Yeah.
Another language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another. Yeah.
So do they use the metric system?
Yep. Yeah. That's true. There's all those little things. Probably the biggest barrier is language, and because construction, like most things that get accomplished in teams or whatever, it involves people and communication, and language is at the core of all that. So we are going to be able to use French. We both, Brianna and I and the kids, we all did great learning French. We feel very encouraged by that. And so having French is going to be huge to be able to communicate effectively and quickly, clearly. And then I think the rest of it is, we'll see. Yeah. There's little practical differences, like the metric system versus the, you know, whatever we use. What do we use? The imperial system. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Good. but I think the harder thing is, like, I always think about the materials and methods.
Right.
Like, you take classes on that in college and learning all of our Western materials and methods for construction. And Africa has their own set of materials and methods. And a lot of them are similar, but a lot of them are different. And what will be most effective, we believe, is to come in and partner with them and use their ways to build and not try to necessarily bring the outsiders' foreign ways and force it, that sort of thing. So there's going to be a ton of learning, and I think humility is going to be key for me. That's what I'm trying to set my expectation at, is like, just be humble, just be prepared to learn. There'll be mistakes, but ultimately us being there is, you know, a privilege, and really believe that it's going to give us a better end result.
Will it be similar in, like, that there's building codes and inspections you have to do, or?
No.
Is it just the Wild West? It's free for all.
Yeah, I think of it like almost like a sandbox, which up more north of Africa literally is a sandbox. But in Cameroon, there's no building code necessarily. There's there is some regulations that are followed, but it's very loose compared to everything we're familiar with in America. So we can embrace that in one sense. And I think that's a big reason why in global missions right now, like there's a real big need for people with skill sets, real background and training, expertise in a field, to come and lend their expertise in environments that usually don't demand the same level of quality or care that in our culture, through the government and everything, like is already in place. There's a lot of good framework here that doesn't exist in other places. So yeah, we're going to try to bring some of the good of that, but also not try to change things too much.
That's great. So you guys get called to missions. I mean, what was that? A few years ago?
Yeah, I think it really comes, man, it was 2022, I think. Because
can you like walk us through, like, I mean, for someone who's not been called to missions yet, maybe, what that looked like for you guys, how you guys felt the call to missions, where you felt like confirmed, like, this is what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
How that process looked like.
Yeah. We really look back on it, and I think the year was 2022, but it was definitely felt like a moment where my wife was out for coffee with our friend Vanessa, who, at the time she was, preparing to go and join another team in West Africa, in Mali, just in passing, without knowing what I do for work, she had just let my wife know to pray. One thing that we could pray for is that God would bring a construction engineer to join their team, because they have a vision for this expansion of a hospital, Christian hospital there. But they were waiting until someone with the right qualifications and know-how would be able to show up, join their team, and oversee the project. But she didn't really know that's what I do. She was just genuinely sharing a prayer request. And my wife brought that home and was like, this is crazy, but what if we went and did that? And I would say for me, hearing that in that moment was just an immediate, like, I had a warm feeling to it as well. We both did. And we had talked about going into cross-cultural missions previously in our marriage over the years. Brianna was usually more interested than I ever was, and I always felt very called just to be here in the States working and being connected into the local church and serving. But for the first time, that was like a really clear moment where we both felt, a burden put on our heart to go. So for us, we believe, like, being called to missions, it really does involve some sort of moment where God puts a burden on your heart, or a call to it could be a place or a people group or whatever, or just to go. But there's usually a moment, and then that gets bathed in prayer and honestly fasting. And those are two really important moments, pieces of feeling called, I guess, is what we've experienced, is that moment where, as a married couple, we both felt that clarity, and then taking that and spending a couple weeks praying and fasting a little bit and just putting it before the Lord. And
obviously traveling as a couple or a single person is very different from having kids. Have your kids been like all about it? Have they been confused? Like, obviously hard for a 4-year-old, I don't know how old your daughter is, but to understand what's going on, like, how's that affected your family, this whole upheaval?
Oh man, that's a great question. I think we really believe that what we're doing right now, what God has called us to do and enabled us to do by his provision, is probably the greatest privilege that we could give our kids. And in a weird way, kind of like, it's an experience that they will get to have as a part of the dynamic of their childhood that not a lot of other kids are allowed to or have the privilege of experiencing. So we really believe that it's maybe one of the best things that we could be doing for them in terms of just our family and childhood mm-hmm. and raising them, is just this like super practical environment of we're trying to follow the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're like really seeking to be, you know, led by Him and let our lives be you know, like an offering or a sacrifice to Him, just by going and living in different places and serving. So that's what we really cling to, is just this conviction, like this is a good thing, like this is great for our kids in ways we don't understand because we often see all the really hard parts of it. And so, yeah, I think things you get told, things we were told as we were getting ready to go and to go through trainings and stuff, it's like, oh, being married in the field or having children especially is huge. It's great for your ministry because it opens doors, mm-hmm. you know, as you get to know, as you're trying to assimilate into communities and stuff and trying to build relationships. Yeah. Having kids opens a lot of doors for other families with kids, and just other cultures is a great way to cross cultural barriers. And I think we've seen that be true for sure. Mm-hmm. So we're you know, I see that as an advantage to us going out into ministry. But at the same time, it's like our kids are our number one ministry as well. Mm-hmm. As many of you are parents, you know, and understand, like those, the three kids that God's entrusting to us is like, those are the number one people that we want to see, you know, respond to their call on, God's call on their lives, mm-hmm. And get saved more than anything we do overseas. So I would say we're thankful that they responded super well in the mm-hmm. first year. There were so many difficult moments, but we really witnessed their resiliency. Kids are like crazy resilient. Yep. And so we think it went great. And so far they are enjoying it. They have probably more emotional depth than I ever had when I was their age, because mm-hmm. they've said goodbye to way more people than I ever did. They've made more friends than I ever have. And then they've said goodbye to them again, but mm-hmm. now they're going to go to a new place and make more friends. And so it's been good, I think, is the ultimate mm-hmm. bottom line, but also very complicated, huge, huge, complex mm-hmm. aspect of what we do.
Greg, I'll just echo what you said. I think we moved here 12 years ago. And so my oldest was 8, my middle was 5, and my youngest was in a carrier, like a couple months old. And I think if you would have asked them, do you want to move to Iowa? They would have been like, no. But to see how quickly they respond, acclimate, is amazing. Better than adults, where it wasn't that big of a sacrifice for them. It was just normal. Mm-hmm. And so now what we've seen is, at least in our oldest, is moving, transitioning, making friends is normal. Mm. It's not crazy to go to college, to be in a new environment, to make new friends. Like, I think the move that happened 11 years ago for us has been so helpful to them. The words you used, it's good for them, it's helpful for them, because you want to train them to be willing to do these type of things for the rest of their life. And if they can do it at 8, at 7, at 5, at the ages of your kids,
yeah,
they'll just continue that pattern as they grow up. So I think you're 100% right.
Yeah, it's cool. And I'll just be totally honest, I remember a very clear moment when we were on a vision trip to the place in Africa that we originally were headed to. And way early on, like, we had heard about the opportunity, mm-hmm. and we're like, oh man, like, God, we feel God's calling us to that. And another piece of that, what it feels like to be called to do something like this, is you usually go on some sort of a vision trip or visit to the mm-hmm. the context that you're looking to go to, just to get an experience and learn what things are really like there and so on. But anyways, it was an intense 2-week time away from our kids where we would pray and process a lot of stuff in this foreign place. Hmm. And one of the most superficial things that I was confronted with, like, as we were like really like putting it in front of us, like, oh, what if we just took our kids and our family and just went, you know, left everything we've ever known and moved here. And I was like, I don't want my son not to have Little League. That was like a really big important thing. Or I even in the moment I knew like that's such a silly thing, but it was important enough that I voiced it to our team leader who was there at the end of the week. I was like, you know what? Like something that's like really on my mind is like our kids, if we choose this for them, there's going to be real distinct things that they don't get that I had growing up, aspects of my childhood that I expected my kids to have that they just won't. And it's even just something like them learning how to play baseball. Was like, for whatever reason, that was the thing I was thinking about. And it's like, yeah, you got to count that cost in a way. And that's a pretty relatively low cost thing. But at the same time, it's like, in exchange for that, now, one, turns out, go figure, my son has learned how to play baseball. He hasn't been in Little League yet, but he likes baseball just like I do. And but now he speaks French and he has friends that are all over the globe and he's interested in things that I didn't even know existed. And so it's those little things that you have to take the moment and be like, okay, God, am I going to trust you even with this little thing that, you know, I don't like? And then later on, just having a better perspective of how God is leading us and providing. So.
The only thing I've learned over the years about language is that kids are so much better at learning languages than adults are.
Yeah.
You meet a kid and they're like, oh yeah, that kid speaks four languages. You go on a mission trip, they're like, oh, yeah, he speaks English, French, German. And, you know, and you're like, what? You're like 11 years old. How do you speak four languages?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Our kids did well. All kids generally seem to. Yeah. They had friends who were from Korea that were living at the school where we were going, and so that Clay and his buddy, he was like learning Korean words too.
That's cool.
Yeah, nothing makes you feel more like a child than going to language school as an adult. You definitely have to re-engage.
Here's an alphabet.
Yeah, like your humble like identity of just, okay, I'm like a child now. Like I like this teacher standing in front of me who can speak this language, like they have complete authority over me in this area. Like I can't speak this to save my life if I had to, you know, at the start.
That's good.
And so you just, that environment can be intense for a lot of us. I'm thankful, like Brianna and I both did well, but we observed like the things that challenged us and then our colleagues and fellow students who are learning, like those can be unexpectedly difficult moments when you're, you know, getting humbled. It's hard.
You have any stories you could share of like, I don't know, it could be a cool story of how God worked, it could be an interesting story of being overseas, it could be a funny story of your family. Any stories to share of you guys being abroad for what was it, a year?
Oh, we've got tons of stories.
I should have prepped you.
No. I should have some locked and loaded. Yeah, let me think. I think the funniest things usually related to like cultural differences, which believe it or not, there's a massive cultural difference between France and America, like French people and American people. Mm-hmm. It's very different. We're both Western cultures, but they're much more historied and like ancient, like maybe not ancient is that right word, but as far as compared to America, their countries existed far longer and their culture is very much more established. So the butting of heads that sometimes comes with that can be funny. Mm. But like, I don't know. I think. Yeah, my teacher told me one time. Okay, so we got, so every Friday, the gâteau is a very important part of our class, our language school. And gâteau is just the French word for like cookie or cake. And so every Friday we'd have like, we'd take the afternoon and someone would bring in a French pastry or a French dessert item. And we'd share it with the class and then learn a little bit about that particular item. And my teacher, before she allowed us to do that, she wanted to explain like, which things are appropriate to buy and bring, and then when you bring them, how to cut the cake. There's a very specific way you cut cakes or gâteaux in France. Mm. You start in the middle. It's basically you cut it like a pizza, like from the middle and cut outwards in slices. And that way everybody gets an equal amount of whatever portion of the cake. And she said, like, you really need to do this right. The last time that someone didn't do that right, she literally cried in class. Oh, wow. She's like, it broke my heart because I had spent so much time preparing the the tart.
No pressure.
And so I was like, wow, I never knew that. Like, how important that was, but not that uncommon of a value to hold there. You know, you got to respect the way things are done. Mm-hmm. And I think that Americans we almost like incentivize or reward like people's ingenuity mm-hmm. and their ability to innovate and take things and change them or do them differently. But in France, we definitely experienced a lot of like, there's a strong cultural desire to conform to how French people do French things, like embrace that. And that's how you can honor them and love them. Mm. And so, I guess that came to mind. I don't know if that's a great story or not, but
it's an interesting story. That's for sure. Yeah. Maybe your girl cry because the way you cut your cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you cut it right though.
Oh yeah. I cut it right for sure. And, now I tell everybody, beware. Don't want to make On cry. Like, cut from the middle out. Yeah.
You guys have any other questions? That's about all I had for questions.
I'm just thinking about cake now.
No, I just want some cake. Yeah, it's cake o'clock.
You would love it in France.
Let them eat cake. Right? That's a Marie Antoinette, right?
Yeah.
It is French.
Yeah.
That's her famous cake. Thing, wow. Right?
A real man of culture.
Let them eat cake.
Yeah. That's how people describe RJ. Culture.
Isn't that one of those stories that was like told of her that we're not actually sure really happened?
Yeah, I don't know the whole story.
I think it's one of those stories. No. Did she ever actually say that? I wasn't there to record it.
Oh. Well, Travis, you ready for the
I'm
game?
I'm ready to go.
All right. Travis can play a little game with you, yep. Greg.
We just want to get to know you a little bit better. We play a game called What's Your Deal? Where I search your social media accounts for interesting or odd photos and just ask you to kind of share the background, the story about the photo so we can get to know you a little bit better. So what's your deal? So the first one,
nice.
You kind of...
No jingle.
I got to come up with a jingle.
Da, 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 da.
What's your deal?
There you go.
Okay. So you mentioned this earlier, and there's a photo to support this, that you went to Iowa State.
Yeah.
But in this photo, you're wearing... a uniform. You're wearing a little getup. Tell us about this.
Get up.
What are you wearing? What did that mean for your experience at Iowa State? What were you involved in? All those types of things.
Yeah, tell us about that. That's my marching band uniform.
You were in the Iowa State University marching band.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. And in fact,
playing what?
I don't mean to correct you, but it's the Iowa State University Cyclone Football Varsity Marching Band.
Yeah, Travis.
Very specific name.
That's why I asked.
The ISU CFVMB. It's the longest marching band acronym name in all of college sports. So.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you were at the football games, on the field.
Yeah.
What years were you there?
So I was at Iowa State fall of 2013 through the fall of 2017. Yeah, I graduated after extra semester in December.
Yeah.
So 2013, 2017. And I love marching band. Mm. I was involved in high school. I played just concert band. I played the saxophone. Mm. And I took that to college and got, that was probably one of my favorite extracurricular things that we did in college. So kind of a nerd like that.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
But we got to be at all the football games, travel with them every once in a while. So great. Great way to make friends. Great way to grow in your music education and things like that. So yeah.
Do you like to just listen to saxophone players?
I do. You know, do you have a favorite? Every once in a while, yeah. So
it's Kenny G, right?
No,
Jerry Rafferty.
No.
Oh, who is it?
So I like John Coltrane.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If you've ever heard of that guy,
yes.
John Coltrane is good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I like him a lot, and Charlie Parker. I did like school projects on Charlie Parker. So, but he's, I like John Coltrane the best.
Mm-hmm.
So did Iowa State go to bowl games that you got to go to as well, or?
No, it's funny you should ask because, well, you probably know this. You know everything mm-hmm. about sports and bowl games.
He
well,
does.
What he's trying to what he's trying to lead me to say here is that for the 4 years that I was at Iowa State, we went to exactly zero bowl games. And I think the 2 or 3 years leading up to that, they were in bowl games. And then
so
immediately
you didn't get to go
after
on any fun trips.
The year after I graduated, they went to more bowl games. And I don't think they really
got it's like when you graduated, then like Brock Purdy showed up, right? Like.
Yeah, yeah. Missed out on that. Oh, I think Matt Campbell was there for the last bit. But no, but no. You get nice like I had like a Leatherman jacket.
Yeah.
I still do. I'll wear it to church sometime while it's still cold here. A big cardinal red Leatherman jacket
that's
got the Iowa State logo on it for the marching band. Mm-hmm. And when you went to bowl games, you'd get like a patch on the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Zero patches on my sleeve.
You know? So you're like, dang it, football team. Could yeah, you've been just a little
boys.
Bit better.
Come on, boys. But Joel Lanning was quarterback while I was there, so that was cool because
Ankeny kid, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brianna was with you in the marching band, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was for 1 year.
Okay, just 1 year.
She hates marching band.
I think I remember seeing a picture of the two of you together, so I was like, I think she was with you, wasn't she?
She, the worst part of, she loves band. She's like me. We're very much akin in that we like band, we like playing instruments and so on. The worst part of marching band for her is the Saturday game days because you have to
your whole Saturday probably, right?
Stand in the end zone and cheer for the band or cheer for the football team and play the pep songs and all that stuff. And I'm like, that's the best part, you know, like that's literally the whole reason to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, that's, I like practicing. I like doing the performance, but the actual game day experience is just exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
But she was in it for 1 year and then she was out.
All right, got one more photo.
Okay.
Typically, your hair is pretty brunette.
Yeah.
I found a photo
where
your hair is very blonde.
That's on Facebook?
Yeah. Tell us about that story. Why is your hair super, super blonde?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is there a story behind that?
Yeah. So again,
Justin Bieber.
A blonde Bieber.
Big band guy like that. If I was like varsity in anything, it was instrumental music. And but I did like, I like sports. Hmm. Big into sports, playing more sports for fun, sports for recreation. And so I was in like a lot of sports in high school and stuff like that. So I was like on every JV team except for wrestling. I never really wrestled. But 1 year I was on the swim team. And so when you swim, if you know, cause you've swam your whole life, you know, like, okay, the chlorine exposure twice a day, every day for all winter, it's like, it can really, you know, change the color of your hair or whatever. So at the end of swim team season before districts or whatever, all the team dyes their hair blonde, they bleach it. And then you shave it after that.
Hmm.
So that was my one experience with that. And I actually won an award that my 1 year in swim team, I got the team award for best hair because having not cared in the slightest about protecting my hair, never wearing a swim cap, my hair was like literally grayish white at the end.
Really?
And I could like take my fingers and like pull clumps of my own hair out of my
head.
And then
that's crazy.
After that, I dyed it. We bleached it, and that's what that picture was. But before that, it was like, it was just like this, like dead clumps of hair on my head. It's crazy.
Wow.
So I got a special prize for that from the team for having the worst hair.
Hope it was worth it.
Yeah. That's it was fine.
Mm. All right, RJ, you got a game?
I do.
All right. Yeah. Rank these things.
Rank these five things.
You have to explain it to RJ.
Hold on. Rank these five things without knowing what's coming next. Go with the.
Bada bop, bop, bop.
Rank these five things.
Nice.
I think you just leave out the five.
We got to work on our jingles.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal, Greg. I'm going to give you five things with the word French in them.
All right.
Okay. And you just have to rank them like how you, like if you think that's the best thing with the word French in it, or if it's the fifth best thing, but you don't know what's coming next.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds easy enough.
It can be, but
we'll see.
You might be surprised at what you put at number one. So let's start with French dressing. Do you eat French dressing?
Yeah, rarely. Okay. So not French.
Oh, no, it's French. It says French in the French word.
It says French on the bottle.
Yeah. Right on the bottle. It's right on the label.
I guess I'll say four. I'll leave four. Number five in case there's something worse, but that okay. French dressing has very little presence in my life.
It is, mm-hmm. Yeah. This one actually is French. French bread.
French bread.
You know, it's like a baguette. Man. It's like crispy on the outside, but really soft on the inside.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is backwards. That's a easy, you know, like goat tier aspect of French culture. For me, it's probably five because I'm gluten-free. I'm allergic to gluten.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So one year in France, like soaking it in, couldn't enjoy the bread of the pastry.
Were you not accepted into the culture because they're like, you can't eat bread? Get out of here.
What about their cakes and their torts?
Yeah, I know.
Well, this one's going to probably go right at three then. French toast?
I'm gonna. Ooh, no, that French toast is awesome, and I'll explain why. That's I say number two.
Number two. Okay.
Yeah. So French toast, like that's actually a French thing. It's called pain perdu, and it's where you take a baguette, and when it's a day old, actual French toast from France is amazing. Even better than French toast here in America.
Have you had Brett's?
I don't French toast. No. I don't think so.
He made it for the staff at a retreat. It was pretty amazing.
You make it with, what is it?
Heavy whipping cream. Oh, nice. Basically, the only difference is in France, you take the day-old baguette and you cut it into little rounds, and then you make the French toast with it. You can do the same stuff, but with the baguette bread, it's extra good.
You put syrup on it in France? Like a good maple
syrup? What do they put on it? We always
probably
did.
Probably fruit.
We always did, but like maple syrup is one of those things that's like, you cannot find it in France. You can at like the exotic food store. That's where we go.
They probably put like strawberries and blueberries on it, right?
Yeah, they put like the powdered sugar and fruit
and then
and
a little
stuff
cream, like a little whipped cream with it.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
So okay, so we've got so the French bread was at five.
Yep.
You ranked that at two. French toast was two.
Yeah, dressing was four.
French dressing was okay. Are you a coffee drinker?
Yeah.
What about the French press?
Oh, the French press.
Is that a real French thing?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And if a French person is giving you coffee, they're all about those like aluminum espresso pods. If it's not that, if it's not an espresso pod, it's a French press for sure. So yeah, they're everywhere. Right. That's like the way to make coffee.
So you've got one in three open.
Yeah. I might put that at one.
Wow.
Because I like coffee. And they're not a super big coffee culture. So I liked that you get a French press. Yeah. Yeah. French press.
Okay. So this leaves number three.
Okay. What's my
which
number
is three? Probably the most authentic French thing I could think of, which is the French fry.
Oh,
I knew that's what was coming.
That's fine. I'll take that all day.
Put that at three.
Yeah. That's actually good. Yeah.
All right.
Not French at all, but I do like them.
Do they have French fries in France?
Oh yeah, they do.
Yeah, see, so that's authentic
at McDonald's.
Yeah,
which is American.
They do, but then it's so funny, and this is almost like a European thing. But like, they do kebabs. Like when you think of a kebab, you're either thinking of like the North African or like Arab type of kebab, which is like the fried meat on a skewer, and then there's this other kind of kebab, which maybe this is the Arab kind, but it's like it's like a pita bread, and inside is like the shaved euro, the lamb and everything. That's what they all call kebab, which I always thought of like skewered meat and stuff. But they serve everywhere in France. You can, and I think around Europe, you get the kebabs, and in there they have the French fries. And if you want tacos in France, their version of a taco is just a kebab. It's just a pita with French fries and then ground beef in it.
Whoa.
And so it's like, that's not a taco at all, guys.
No.
Come on
now.
They have no idea what taco. How they do tacos. So nice. Yeah.
Well, that's good ranking of five things.
So. Okay, I'll take that.
Not where I would have thought you would have went with them, but
yeah, all right, I got one final quick game to play with you, and you're going to play a game against RJ.
Yes.
All right. We're going to do some geography trivia.
Okay. Oh, geography. Okay.
All right. So Greg versus
United
RJ.
United States geography?
Travis will keep score. No, not
about United State of Iowa.
No, neither of those things.
Rural towns in Iowa.
Greg, we'll let you go first. You're the guest.
Cool.
All right, we're going to keep score. There's 10 questions. We've got 10 a bonus questions. Question in case we need
bonus
it.
Question.
Can we steal?
Sure. We can steal. You get an answer.
For half a point.
Half point. Half point steal. This is probably an easy one. Maybe not. Greg, what's the longest river in the world?
Mm. Oh, geez. I think it's the Nile.
Correct. Oh, the Nile.
That was a layup.
That was a layup. All right, RJ, this one's a little more difficult.
Yeah, watch mine.
You're not the guest. You get the harder question. What is the capital of Australia?
I want to say Sydney, but I think that's wrong. I'm going to say Sydney.
It's not Sydney.
It's Johannesburg.
You can't guess another one because he could steal.
Is it Melbourne?
Right. No.
Oh.
It's Canberra. Canberra.
Yeah.
So no steal.
We've all
no
heard of
steal.
That one, Tanner.
So well, still... I'm just giving you what's on the quiz, okay? I didn't choose all these questions. All right. Back to Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, which country has the most time zones?
Probably the widest country.
Mm.
So...
Russia? I'll give you... Okay. I was going to give you a hint. It's a little bit of a trick question.
Okay.
You still going to go with Russia?
Well, I feel like I have to, but can I have your hint?
Yeah, what was the
That was the hint.
Choice.
It's
a trick question.
It's a trick question a little bit. It's not what you think it is.
Like, it's not the widest one.
Right. Correct. That is...
It could be the widest, but this way.
I'm going to... I think I'm just stick with my answer because I don't have another one, but I have a very low degree of confidence that I'm right.
Yeah.
Based on how you just responded to me.
Oh, you're not right. RJ, would you like to steal for half a point?
Yeah, I try. Yeah. Should have thought about this more. Can you repeat the question?
Which country has the most time zones?
I think I know what it is.
You're going to kick yourself if you know what it is.
It's the United States.
Not. It's France.
What?
It has the most territories that are technically French territories across the world. That has it doesn't give you the number of it. It has so many territories that technically France has like
part of France.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's why it was a little bit of a trick question.
Yeah, there's like a French territory in South America.
Yep.
So learned about that last year.
All right, RJ.
That
is interesting.
So what is it? 1-0 still?
Yeah.
All right, RJ. Mount Kilimanjaro is located in what country?
Hmm.
I feel like I should know this. I'm gonna say Finland. I don't know.
Greg, you want to steal?
I'll attempt, but
or try to steal.
So Nepal is like Everest, but then I'm worried that Kilimanjaro is like somewhere in like not Nepal, it's like Africa or something, somewhere in Africa. But where?
I'm not giving him hints.
I don't know. I'd just say that, but I know I'm wrong. I'm curious.
Tanzania.
Okay.
Tanzania.
Is that in Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Still 1-0.
Okay, we're back to Greg.
Yikes.
Greg, what U.S. This is a U.S. one, but it's not for you. What U.S. state has the most coastline?
Like ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Most, okay. Right.
Yeah. Coastline.
No shame. I'm not great at geography. California.
Sorry, it's wrong. RJ, you want to steal?
I think it's Florida.
Also wrong. Do you know what it is, Trav?
Of course.
What is it?
It's Michigan.
No.
Yes, it is.
Alaska.
Maybe in the 48 it's Michigan. Michigan has more coastline than California.
Yeah,
I don't know about Florida, but they count the Great Lakes.
But yeah, he said ocean.
He did say ocean.
I said coastline, which is generally understood as ocean, not lakes.
Michigan brags by having the most coastline.
They do. That was that was a trivia question last year
about
Lake Ann.
That's true.
All right, RJ.
Okay,
which desert is the largest in the world?
The Sahara.
No, that's wrong.
Oh.
I was going to add a caveat and you answered.
Go ahead and add the caveat.
You already answered.
He might want to rechange this.
Greg, you want to try a steal?
I'm going to be honest. I only know one desert.
You ready for the hints? It's not just hot deserts. Technically, deserts aren't just hot.
You know, the cold deserts.
That's a thing, though.
Don't forget about the cold deserts.
What about food deserts?
Is there a
food desert?
Antarctica.
Greg is a chance to steal. Let Greg have a chance to steal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking all of Antarctica, but it's like, is it the Antarctic desert?
That's actually right. It's Antarctica.
What? Oh, okay. Come on. That's the largest. I gave that one.
Well, you shouldn't have said it.
I should have. You're
so
right.
So it's 1 point.
One and a half to zero.
Zero.
All right, Greg, what is the smallest country in the world?
Smallest.
Also, sort of a trick question.
Smallest country. I'm just gonna go with this. We went and visited Monaco while we were down in France, but I don't know if that's a country. But I know it's its own little thing and it's very small. It's
good guess. Yeah. It's not right.
Okay,
RJ,
is it one of the Stan countries?
It's kind of, it's not. That's kind of helping you, but
Delaware.
Nice.
I have no idea.
It is Vatican City. It's its own country.
Cool. Is it really?
Yeah. Technically, yes.
I get that.
All right, RJ. This is one you should get, RJ.
Okay.
Which European city is divided by canals and built on more than 100 small islands?
I should get that?
Which European city is? Okay. Think about European cities that are built on canals.
I can't think of a European city right now.
Travis, do you know this one?
I think so.
Do you know this one?
Is it Venice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There you go.
The only reason I know that Venice, is from James Bond movies. So it's 1.5 to one.
This is an easy one, depending on
one and a half to one.
This could be an easy one for you, Greg. Okay. What is the official language of Brazil?
Portuguese.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Two and a half to one.
Yep.
RJ, continent has the most countries?
I want to say Africa.
Right?
Yes.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
All right. Do you guys want to, Greg would win. Do you guys want to do Final Jeopardy style? It's 2 to 2.5.
We've done 10 questions?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to do Final Jeopardy style you can risk some points for all right. Which two countries?
Say how many points were.
Oh yeah, sorry. How many points do you want to wager?
He has to go first because he's in the lead.
I can't do the math. If you wager all your points, then I need to wager at least.
You could wager 0 points.
I don't want to. Oh yeah, I'm gonna bet the farm.
All right,
2.5 points. Double.
I will bet zero.
So you're gonna bet that he's gonna get wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have zero confidence in Greg.
Very
right
smart.
Now.
All right. Which two countries share the longest international border?
So what do we do when we know?
Then you have to lock in your answer in your mind. This is honor system.
Write it down.
Lock in your answer in your mind, and I'll ask you separately. Can't change it.
Okay. I've locked it in.
Okay, I just locked it in, Greg.
Wait, repeat the question.
What two countries share the longest international border?
Okay.
Locked in.
Locked in. All right, so you're wagering 2.5, you're wagering zero.
Yeah.
Greg, what's your answer?
I'm thinking United States and Canada.
Canada, that's what I had.
Okay, you had it?
Yeah.
It's a great
answer.
That's
right.
All
right.
Five to two.
The guest wins again.
Man.
As usual.
You're always rigging at this
point. Yeah, well, you know.
You're so kind to our guests.
Well, Greg, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time. Appreciate getting to know you a little bit. It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Pray for you guys as you head off to Cameroon here soon. And,
awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see you next time.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.